Praise, let's give that to the Lord right now. Let's give a hand clap of praise unto God. Amen. Wonderful to be in the house of God. Amen. Yes. Wonderful to be in the house of God two times in a row, said those that were here both times. But it's wonderful to see you in the house of God and wonderful presence of God that we felt here today. And there's always such a rich, authentic, wonderful move of God in this place that's a blessing to me, my wife, and my children that are in Sunday school. That's good because I can't see them, so I'm glad to know that. But it's wonderful to be here with my wife, and we've had a wonderful weekend staying with Bishop Downs and Sister Downs, and what a blessing it's been to spend time with them, and a wonderful voice in our life. And we give honor to Pastor Downs and Sister Melanie Downs. Let's honor them right now. Amen. And Brother Kent and the ministry here, saints of God, it is always wonderful to be in your presence. And we're looking forward to what the Lord will do today. And this service, we had a wonderful service at 9:15, and we will have one again today. If I could have you turn to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16. And we're going to read right through to the end of verse 11. While you're turning there, I give honor to Pastor Harvey. Thank him for his leadership, my life, my wife's life, our family, our church, and for allowing us to be here this weekend. Love him so much. Psalm 16, reading 1 through to, all the way down to verse 11. The Bible says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you.' As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." I want you to focus on this final verse that we're reading. Bible says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." How many love that scripture here today? You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Praise God. I want to speak to you here this morning on a simple subject, fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. I believe there's an image up there. If you put your Bibles down and lift your hands, let's pray for the ministry of God's word right now. Would you join me with hands lifted? Pray with me. Father, we are grateful that we can be found in your house here today, Lord God. Father, you can do anything in this place. Your word declares where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We feel liberty in this place right now. God, we ask you to move in the hearts of every single person here, Lord God. Let your word find good soil, good ground, that it might cause us to change in a way that glorifies you and magnifies your name, O God. We pray that you would move powerfully in this place, Lord. Let your Spirit minister to every person here, Lord God, that we would truly leave this place changed and transformed and different to the way that we walked in this place, O Lord God. We ask that you'd anoint my lips of clay. Have your way. Let your will be done in this place in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands one more time. Amen. Fullness of joy. Please be seated in the house of God. Amen. Well, the portion of text that we just read, specifically verse 11, has always been one that preaches very, very well. It's one of those verses which is a popular go-to scripture for preachers trying to inspire congregations. Verse 11 of Psalm 16 is one of those verses inserted into the middle of corporate prayers, a verse recited in times of discomfort and discouragement. Indeed, it is the last verse of this chapter that gets more attention than the verses that precede it combined. That verse is, in his presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand pleasures forevermore. We love it. Powerful, encouraging, and comforting words. And we've heard it many, many times if you spend even just a small amount of time in the church. But as is often the case, brethren, whenever a small portion of Scripture is referred to a lot and preached a lot and prayed out aloud a lot, the words that come before it can be so easily forgotten. I know for me, as a young Christian, hearing that famous verse gave me the sense that being a Christian was to have a life of never-ending, warm, fuzzy emotions, where I would live a life with nothing but smooth seas and calm winds until we would be gloriously taken away to be with Him. Amen. That's what I thought when, as a young Christian, I heard that verse of Scripture preached. And yet I have not failed to notice that the 11 years since I first heard those words preached, Pastor Downs, the reality of life, even as a believer, is that it's not always smooth seas. Can I get an amen? It's not always calm winds. Matter of fact, sometimes it feels like there is rarely, if ever, smooth seas and calm winds. And as we mature as Christians and realize how important it is to look past a couple of verses that we love in isolation, and as we take time to understand the life and the context of the author of the Scripture, is it that the author of these words lived a peaceable life void of trouble, or was it that despite the troubles this author faced, the author yet still recognized God's goodness and mercy in his life? We must do that. We must look past those few lovely verses that sound great and make life feel like it's going to be wonderful. And we need to look back to the context and understand what the author was saying in the entirety of that chapter. And so when we look at the preceding sentence in this verse, the sentence before the part that we love, in his presence is fullness of joy. When we read the sentence before, we see that the author wrote this. He said, "You show me the path of life." Then it goes on to say, "In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore." You show me the path of life, for the words that are written before the part of the Scripture that we love. And to me, that statement is as powerful as the popular part of the verse. And why would I say that? I say it because when we study the life of David, we read that it wasn't very long until his young life where he ran into trouble. Not just a little bit of trouble, but the type of trouble that had him despised by the most powerful man in Israel, forced to be on the run in a perpetual state of survival mode. For what? For operating under the anointing and the ministry God have for his life. And I come to say this here this morning, saints of God, the power of those words that we love so much is actually made even more powerful because they were penned by a man whose path was troubled, penned by a man whose life was in peril, penned by a man who carried the weight of nations, and yet despite much of his life being a life on the run, a life simply aiming to survive, of immense weight and responsibility, that man could still recognize that joy could still be found in the presence of Jesus Christ, and that pleasures could still be found at God's right hand. That ought to encourage you here today when we read of a man that was going through battles, yet he could still recognize joy found in the presence of God. What does that mean for us here today? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. What does that mean for you here today? That means that yes, we're going to go through battles, and yes, there are going to be storms, and yes, there are going to be dark nights and lonely seasons, but yet even in the midst of that, we can still somehow find peace and joy in the presence of God. How many believe that here today, that just because our life is not perfect does not mean that we can't find peace? We can find peace where? In the presence of Jesus Christ, amen. We can find peace right here in the presence of God. That the circumstances of our life actually don't have the ability to remove peace and joy from our life. The circumstance of your life here today is not as important as your ability to find the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. Your circumstance is not as powerful as your ability to find the presence of Jesus Christ. Let me say that one more time. Your circumstance is not as powerful as your ability to find the presence of God. That ought to excite you here today. That ought to make you rejoice here today. Because when we get a revelation of this, we understand that circumstance no longer has power over our ability to find joy. And godly pleasure can be found anywhere and anytime. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That means that we can find peace and joy wherever the presence of God can be found. So it doesn't matter what you're going through, your circumstance, your season, your storm, if you can find the presence of God, you can still feel biblical joy right in the middle of that season. Amen. And where can the presence of God be found? Anywhere. You can find the presence of God anywhere. That means that there's no circumstance, there's no battle or storm that prevents me from finding joy. Psalm 139 verse 8 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. That means in every season, that means in every valley, that means in every trial, every disappointment, joy and pleasure can still be found in that place. Amen. How many here in this place have a testimony in their own life that it was in the depths of the valley seasons of life that you actually felt God the most? How many can say it was in the middle of the deepest battle? It was in the depths of that valley where I felt God more than I felt Him standing on the mountaintop experiences of life. It is better that we be in the depths of the valley but still be connected to the presence of God than be living on a mountaintop somewhere and not feeling like we don't need God no more. It is better for your salvation to reach out to God in the depths of the storms of life, praise God, than for our life to feel like everything's working out well. How many believe that here today? You may not like the feel of it. It may not be good for your flesh, but it's better for your soul to find God in a storm than it is for you to feel like life is just perfect and working out the way you want it to work out. Amen. That's my experience. Finding God in the battle. And it's a wonderful thing for us to be able to do. Finding peace and joy in that season makes no sense in our flesh, does it? To be able to find fullness of joy in the depths of a storm. When something bad happens, we feel bad. When something good happens, we feel good. Yeah? That's the way we feel. But that's not what I'm talking about here today. The Bible says even Jesus wept. He felt emotion. That's not what biblical joy is about. It's got nothing to do with biblical joy. Feeling good when you get paid and feeling bad when you're broke has got nothing to do with joy. That's just brain chemistry. That's just serotonin flying around in your brain. That's got nothing to do with biblical joy. David is talking about something that is removed from the circumstance of your life. He is talking about something that can only happen when you are in the presence of Jesus. Something that takes place when the presence of God becomes larger than the temporary circumstance that you find in front of yourself. We need to get that into our spirit. Why is that important? Praise God. it's important, because when we confuse how we feel with the joy of the Lord, all that has to happen is us go through a storm and a battle and a disappointment, and we don't feel the presence of God anymore. But I believe I serve a God that I can still feel and I can still enjoy, even if there are parts of my life I'm going through that hurt my flesh. And matter of fact, it's a sign of your maturity as a Christian that you can walk through those doors and there are parts of your life that aren't working out well, but you can still come to the house of God and lift your hands up in the presence of Jesus. You can still find a place at this altar. You're still opening up your Bible and reading God's word. That's a sign of maturity, praise God, that when life is difficult, you can still worship Jesus. That's the will of God for you to lift up your hands even in the middle of the biggest storms of your life. Can someone say amen? That is maturity. That is maturity, that we can come through that door. And yes, my Monday through Friday was not easy, but I can still worship God and I can still find joy, because true biblical joy has nothing to do with the circumstance of your life, but it has everything to do with the ability to find presence of God in that season. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I believe it. And we have to understand this. If we don't understand this, we won't last in the house of God, because we will associate how we feel with how God is. God is always good. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, which means we serve a God who is always good, a God that is always merciful, a God that is always loving. But it is true, we have some seasons that are better than others, which means that the fullness of joy is not connected to the season of our life. He is always a God that can give us fullness of joy. I had a friend of mine message me a video clip not that long ago, and I watched the video, and it was actually a video of Tony Robbins. Anyone heard of Tony Robbins, the famous motivational speaker? And in this video, I pressed play, and the video, Tony Robbins was standing in front of a large group of people, And in this video my friend sent me, Tony Robbins, he said these words. Tony Robbins, standing in front of, I don't know, 20,000 people, he said, maybe you've heard of this, he said, good times create weak people. Weak people create bad times. Bad times create strong people. And strong people create good times. And David, my friend, he messaged me this video and he said, see, Greg, this is really powerful. It's telling me that that difficult times are actually good for me. And I said, yes, David, that is true, but that's not original. He didn't come up with that. That was actually stolen from James 1 and 2, where the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be found perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Tony Robbins didn't come up with that. That's a scriptural principle, that we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Everyone say trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We do not like difficulty, and we do not like trials, and we don't like seasons of testing, but I'm here to tell you today that it's through that we can actually exercise true biblical joy. When we can go through the seasons of life that don't feel great, yet we have the maturity to find the presence of God and walk in true biblical joy. I'm here to tell you, when you can find that place to separate how you feel with finding the joy of the Lord, you are unstoppable in the kingdom of God, because it means it doesn't matter what comes against me, it doesn't matter what storms I go through, I can still find joy. I can still feel the joy of the Lord. How many wish they had that testimony, that I can still find joy no matter how my flesh is feeling? Amen. You are a weapon in the kingdom of God. You are a weapon in the kingdom of God if you can find joy even when parts of your life are doing damage to you. Amen. This is where God wants us to be, to separate how we feel with feeling the joy of the Lord. It makes no sense to the world when we can do this. When we can feel joy when circumstances around us or to make us feel down. When we can feel joy when surrounded by chaos. When we can feel joy in the midst of persecution. That is true biblical joy. And it makes no sense to the world. They will say, what's wrong with you? You're still going to that church. When you look at your life, there are parts of your life that are falling apart, yet you're still hanging out with those people. You're still coming to the house of God. And I would tell you that if people are saying that about you, you would wear that as a badge of honor, because what you are telling them is, I can still feel joy even in the middle of storms that are hurting my flesh. It's the sort of joy, praise God, that a bad day can't take away. It's the sort of joy that offenses can't take away. It's the sort of joy that sickness can't take away. And the world doesn't understand. It makes no sense when there are parts of your life that aren't working out, but you can still feel joy. But I believe it's the will of God for every Christian to find that place of maturity, to know how to feel the joy of the Lord even when there are parts of your life that are not working out well, or that are hurting your flesh. Amen. The world looks at you and says you're out of your mind, and they say things like Job's wife says, you may as well curse God and die. But the Spirit-filled believer looks at their circumstance and says, no, this is not a reason for me to walk away. The Spirit-filled believer looks at their circumstance and says, I know that this is but a part of my journey, that my God is still on the throne, He's still in control, and I can still feel joy even though I'm going through that. It may not make sense to your workmates, it may not make sense to the world, but I promise you right now that God is calling every Christian believer to find that place where they can separate how they feel with enjoying the presence of God. And when you can separate those two things, your name will forever be written in the Lamb's book of life. There will be no discouragement, and there will be no offense, and there will be no circumstance that will drive you out of the house of God, because feeling the presence of God is not connected to how I feel. I worship Him because He's a good God. I worship Him because He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'll have good days, I'll have bad days, but He's always a good God. I'll have good seasons and bad seasons, but His presence is always available. That's why we can feel fullness of joy even in the depths of the valley. We must find this place. Until we can find this place, we are vulnerable in the things of God. So long as we are connecting how we feel with whether we're serving a good God or a bad God, we are vulnerable. But when we have that maturity to be able to disconnect those two things, I will have good days and I will have good seasons. I will have bad days and I will have bad seasons. But no matter where I am, on the top of the mountaintop or the valley low, my God is a good God. He's always faithful. He will get me through it, praise God. And if He allowed me to feel that and go through that, there is something He's fashioned inside of me to change me, to make you more like Him. Amen. Your battles aren't there to destroy you. God would never permit something to remove you from the Lamb's book of life. It's not there to destroy your salvation, but there is something that is being fashioned. There is something that is changing inside of you through that circumstance that will glorify Him when we pass through it. And I know I'm speaking to a church full of people that you have felt God more powerfully and more intimately in the depths of those valley seasons of life than when life is going great for you. And that's where God would rather us go through difficult days but be connected to the presence of God than for us to exist on a mountaintop forever. That is not the will of God. Praise God, the path of life, as the author mentions, will sooner or later remind you that it is true, bad things do happen to good people, even Christian people, even Spirit-filled believers, even God's chosen, bad things will happen to them. But the path of life will sooner or later remind you that good things happen to bad people. Bad things will happen to good people. Doesn't make sense to our minds. The path of life will reveal that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but I'm here to encourage you and tell you that it is time that will reveal to you that God is still in control, and it's time that will reveal to you that He's still on the throne, and it is time that reveals to you that He never lost control. And if you find that place in your life where you can feel the hand of God on your life despite parts of your life that don't appear to be working out, I'm telling you, you are finding maturity, you are growing in the things of God. He wants us to find that place where it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, I can still feel God and I can still believe that He is a good God. Amen. I have seen some of my spiritual giants in my life, some of my mentors that will literally be going through the most challenging seasons of life, and yet I can still see in their words they still believe that God is good, they still believe that God is faithful. And I'm here to encourage the church right now, if you can find that place where you still truly believe that He is good and He's still your provider and He can still heal and He's still a merciful God, even though there are parts of your life that are unresolved, that is the mature place that He wants us to find here today. Praise God. He wants us to find that place. It's important for our longevity in the things of God that we can find that maturity, that my life does not change whether He is good or not. He is always good. It is the very same man David that penned these words in Psalm 37. He said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Here's what he says in verse 25 of chapter 37. He says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David, these words, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What does that tell you? It tells you that David had seen some life before he wrote those words. I have been young and now I am old. I want to tell you here today, church, that it is time that reveals the masterpiece in your life. A masterpiece that even includes the darkest days and the most loneliest of nights. And I was up late into the night talking to Bishop Downs and Sister Downs, and my wife and I were there speaking with them last night. And I'm here to tell you that the greatest testimonies that they shared were testimonies that were birthed out of some of the most desolate and dark seasons. And I'm here to tell you that the same that took place in their life can take place in your life. What you think will be your undoing will be your greatest testimony. When you come through the other end, you will see the hand of God on your life. All we have to do is be faithful to the presence of God, and all we have to do is be consistent in Him, no matter what we're going through, because God will see to it that you will come out the other end. And when you come out the other end, you will see that the Lord's hand was upon your life. Even when you felt that God had turned the taps off in your life, He has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten about you. He is fashioning you and changing you and making you more like Him. You've got to believe it right now, amen. You've got to believe it as you're going through that, because when you look back, you see the hand of God upon your life. You need to face today's season knowing that I will one day look back to this season and I'll be testifying of God's hand upon my life. I'm telling you that your season today, He's not taking His hand off of you. He's allowing the seasons of life to change you and to mold you and mature you, praise God, that you would be a new creature, a creature of anointing. Praise God. How many believe that here today? That my season is not for my destruction. My season, praise God, is for His glory. Amen. The trial and tribulations of life is not being forsaken. It's part of our transformation. And we must go through it. And I challenge us, speak to any leader, speak to any giant of the faith, speak to any person that you look at their life and you say, wow, God's hand has been upon them and they've been mightily used, and you ask them about what it costs them to operate that way in the kingdom, and I promise you they will tell you of seasons where they were battling in their flesh. They'll tell you of seasons of loss. They'll share seasons of disappointment. They'll share seasons of tragedy. But it was through that God did something powerful. As I come to a close, if I could please have the keys behind me. There is a brother of mine up in Sydney. You probably have heard of him. In fact, he was the one that witnessed to my pastor, Brother Mo Lelikabau. And last year, there was a testimony that he put up on our Facebook page. We were doing some testimonies on our POS Facebook page. And also in his preaching, he has been sharing of his season where, you know, for those that don't know, and he's happy for me to share this, he's already obviously mentioned it and preached it publicly, but this man was obviously an anointed young preacher of God, and he had a season where he basically was imprisoned and was locked up and had a season in the wilderness, and I encourage you to watch that testimony if you would like. But you know, as I was listening to this testimony, Brother Downs, and I was watching this testimony, I couldn't help but think about some of the moments he must have passed through. Because you look at him now, and he's ministering the Word of God, and he's being used of God, and you know, three out of our five youth camps, he was the preacher that they wanted to preach it at these camps, and he has a ministry now and a testimony that is so powerful. But I want to tell you something, that nobody was there in the cell late in the night when he was probably wondering how his life had unraveled the way that it had. Nobody was there in the season of life when it was just him in a lonely cell wondering how he'd gone from preaching overseas and being used of God to being in that cell in that place. And the same is true for all of us. God wants to use you mightily for His glory. He has ministries and He has callings and He has futures for you. And He actually will, He wants to use the seasons of your life of isolation, of disappointment, of tragedy, because those are the seasons that form the depth of character in you and the anointing in your life to be used mightily for His glory. How many believe that here today? We need to learn to understand how to interpret these seasons of life that we go through. Because if we misinterpret them, it can be our undoing. But if you can interpret them the way God wants us to, we'll understand that this is just a part of the process that God has for us, that we would be the vessel He's called us to be. The Bible never said, in this life, there is fullness of joy. He never said, in this life, there is fullness of joy. You know what He said? He said, in His presence, there is fullness of joy. This has been a conundrum for many believers. While we may have a connection to church and a connection to the Word of God, a connection to people, we can interpret situations the same way the world does, can't we? That good is good, and bad is bad, and good means that God is good, and bad means that God has taken His hand off of my life. We can very easily begin to interpret the seasons of life this way. But I want to tell you, if that's how we view seasons of life, we're not looking through the lens of eternity, nor the lens of God's masterpiece being built. So long as we are walking around in this flesh, in this battle, we must learn to separate how I feel and what God is doing in my life. You see, as I come to a close, the essence of this message here today is understanding the connection between how I feel as a person and our connection to God's presence. We can't connect those two. Between how I feel about my life and accessing biblical joy. Between my brain chemistry and pleasures found at His right hand. We cannot connect those two things. They can't be connected. So long as these two things are connected, we can never attain true biblical joy and peace and stability in God. If we keep connecting how I feel with whether God loves me, we are misinterpreting the seasons of life. We can't do that because if we do, circumstance stands between us and God's presence. But it's the will of God for us to have the maturity to be able to enjoy the presence of God and find fullness of joy no matter what's going on in our life. I believe that with all my heart here today, that every Christian believer must find that place of maturity to separate how I feel in my mind, how I feel, and the goodness of God and the mercy of God and fullness of joy that we can experience in this life. I've come to tell you here today that $1 million is not joy. $1 billion is not joy. Being in prison is not the lack of joy. The presence of Jesus is joy. The presence of God is joy. Feeling good because you got a pay rise is not biblical joy. And the opposite is also true. Feeling sad because something has not worked out is not evidence that God has abandoned you. It's as simple as this. I can find joy in the presence of Jesus Christ. I can find fullness of joy in the presence of God. And I believe if people understood this reality, we would have thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have come and left the house of God. We would see them at General Conference. We would not be able to find a building large enough if people understood this reality, because so many people have misinterpreted their seasons with God taking His hand off of their life. But for those few people that can withstand those seasons, I promise you, you will come out a new creature. If not for the battles, this pastor would not preach with the anointing that he had. If not for the battles, his parents would not have the ministry they had. If not for the battles and the seasons of life, the maturity and the character and the anointing that we need to operate in the kingdom of God would not be there. And I want to encourage you right now that your storm and your season and the parts of your life that are doing damage to your flesh, God wants to use that for His glory. He wants to use that because of the change that will take place in your life. And if you can understand that principle, you will walk through the storms of life and say, it's okay, God has my back, but I thank God for what's going to happen inside of me. There is change taking place that will glorify the name of Jesus. I can yet come to the house of God. I can yet feel the fullness of joy. I can be going through all types of hell Monday through Friday, but I can come to the house of God lifting up holy hands and feeling the presence of Jesus, because in His presence there is fullness of joy. In His presence, let's stand right now. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. How many believe that here today? How many believe in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy? What does that mean for you here today? It means there are people here today that are literally standing on the mountaintop. You can feel joy in the presence of God. But there are also people here today. You don't find yourself in a mountaintop experience of life. There are parts of your life that make you feel uncomfortable. There are parts of your life that are causing sadness and regret. You can feel the presence of God, and you can feel fullness of joy when we entertain the presence of Jesus. How many believe that here today? Would you lift your hands with me right now? I want to preach to those here right now. You find yourself in a season where you've almost misinterpreted what's going on in your life. You've entertained thoughts that are something like this, that God has lifted His hand off of me, and that's why I'm going through what I'm going through. I want to tell you right now that God has not abandoned you, nor has He taken His hand off of you, that you can still find joy here today if you would entertain the presence of Jesus. Would you lift your hands with me right now? Let's lift them high in the presence of God. I want to encourage every single person here under the sound of my voice. I want you to connect yourself to whatever season of life you are going through. I want you to connect yourself with the season of life that you find yourself in right now. It might be standing high on the mountaintop of life. It might be feeling like you're down in the depths of the valley, but my God is still the lily of the valley. So Father, I pray right now for every single soul in this place, oh Lord Jesus. I pray as they would walk through this place, all types of lives and circumstances and seasons that people are passing through, I pray right now that we could all enjoy the same joy of the Lord, that we could all feel your presence, oh Lord God, that my circumstance doesn't have to rob us of feeling your perfect joy in this house, oh Lord God. I pray there'd be some people that would break through mindsets where they feel that God has taken their hand off of them. Remind them, oh Lord God, that you still care for them. Their lives are still in the palm of your hand. Remind them, oh Lord God, that you still love them and care for them, have a future for them, Lord God. You've not dropped them or abandoned them, Lord God, but you've kept them, Lord God. I pray right now that they will just reach out to you, Lord God, that they would enter your presence. And as they enter your presence, oh Lord God, they would feel your joy. Come on, church. Would you lift up your voices right now in the presence of Jesus? Would you engage with the presence of God right now? This has nothing to do with your life. This has nothing to do with how happy or sad you are. This is being in the presence of the King of Glory in this place. Come on. Let's pray right now. There is fullness of joy in your presence, O Lord God. Pleasures forevermore at your right hand. As we lift our hands and as we worship the Lord, I want to invite some people to this altar, some people that want to feel a touch from the Lord, some people that came to this place here today feeling tired, feeling weary, feeling a bit flat and down. I want to remind you that in this place here today, you can leave feeling the joy of the Lord. Come on, there got to be some people here today. There's got to be some people here today that wouldn't mind feeling the presence of Jesus, that need to feel a flow of the Spirit sweeping through them. You've come in here with heavy shoulders and heavy feet, but you need to leave this place being changed by what the presence of God can do in your life. That's it. Praise God. That my life and how I feel is not determining whether God is protecting me, that His presence can still be felt and we can feel joy in His presence. As our worship leaders and singers lead us through some songs, would you do that right now? Would you engage with the presence of Jesus? I want to remind you that the perfect biblical joy can be felt here in this house, even right now. Right now we can feel it. Oh God, even those in the depths of the valley, let us feel your joy. God, surround us. You are the lily of the valley, your word says. And so right now I pray that you'd surround your sons and your daughters. Let them feel your joy. The type of joy no circumstance can take away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As our musicians and singers lead us, let's engage with the presence of God.